I want you to think for just a moment here about chapter 1 and think of some of the points that we have made from the text and how it leads into some things that Peter is teaching us in chapter 2. Because there is kind of a change or a shift in the things that he's talking about in many ways. And we've kind of addressed that some. I want you to think for this, about this for just a moment. And then keep in mind that as we talked last Sunday, kind of finishing up chapter 1, there was kind of a real point of emphasis on the power of God's Word. And it seems to me that some things that he said early in the chapter kind of leads to this point, you know, and that he's trying to, with some emphasis here, make sure these Christians understand and make sure that we understand that the written Word that we have here is in fact the will and the Word of God. And that we can have confidence in those things, that it's not just some things he set down one day arbitrarily and decided to write, but that in fact inspired men of God are the ones who have brought us God's will. And so that's kind of where chapter 1 kind of comes to an ending there. And there was a point of emphasis with that. Now when we think about some things we've studied in chapter 1 and as we go into chapter 2, why did he say some things that he did in chapter 1? What's the point of emphasis? What did he say and what does that have to do with where we are going in chapter 2? What would you say? Les. Right.
And it makes a very strong point at the end that we're not following cunningly devised fables, but we are eyewitnesses of what actual Christ in his
Yeah, he said, I was there.
I was there. I saw this. I am not
and even though we weren't there to some degree, now we know the story by the eyewitness testimony. All right? What else would you say, Vince?
Mm-hmm. It's in Christ Jesus, and we are a chosen people.
Yeah.
What we have so precious is our salvation.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about some of the points that he made in the first chapter about just those things, the blessings that we have in Christ. I mean, everything that we have of a spiritual nature is through Christ. And think of all the blessings that he talked about, all things pertaining to life and godliness, you know, have come through Christ. All of these blessings. And it almost seems like he's emphasized some things over and over as now we come to this point. Now, how does that contrast what he's going to say in chapter 2 or those of whom he speaks about in chapter 2? What do you see? Okay. Everything that we see of the blessings from chapter 1 that comes through Christ, you know, really turns out to be a benefit to us. You know, a false prophet is looking at some way to glorify himself. What else? You going to hit? Okay, Denny?
I was just saying, if we are the chosen people, if we're chosen by our own decision to be chosen as well, so we can listen to other teachers and we can be persuaded not to be the chosen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so a big part of the message in chapter 2 becomes, don't be fooled. Look at what we have. Don't give this up. That's a lot of what he's saying. Yeah. This becomes a critical point. It does. Because the opposite side of that is if we stand with the Lord, we'll be judged as well, but favorably. All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves some there, but now we're getting a picture of where we've been and where we're going, right? Look at the latter part of chapter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the word or denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, and by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words, whose judgment for a long time has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. It's interesting, so many times when I've read the text, you come to the end of chapter 1 and you kind of quit reading. And you work on chapter 1. Then you come back later and you start reading chapter 2. And you notice how you miss something when you don't just read that straight through? And how that this transition took place and the comparison here that's being made, the contrast that's being made of the will and the word of God and the power of that and where it came from and how it's been delivered as compared to destructive doctrines brought by false teachers. Could you make a greater contrast than that? I mean, that's powerful to me. I mean, what he's saying and how he's saying that. What's your impression? Any thoughts with that, Rick?
Well, this kind of goes back to previous questions and comments that were already made, but there's really a foundation laid in chapter 1 for dealing with what takes place in chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely so. And the power of chapter 1 is seen as you transition into chapter 2. To me, it makes chapter 1 stand out all the more in the power of what is being said there. You know, in so many ways, now, what he's transitioning to, what he's saying is apostasy is coming. It's one of these things where it's not like, you know, you should watch out just in case maybe somebody thought about trying to be deceptive. No, that's not what he's saying. It's like there's no doubt, there's no question. I mean, here's what's going to happen. Apostasy is coming. In fact, even makes the point that, you know, that it's like, this is nothing new. This has always happened among men, is more or less what he is saying here. And so here we are in a time where New Testament Christianity is just getting a foothold here when Peter is writing this. And yet he's saying that there are destructive teachers and doctrines, you know, those who are not professing allegiance to Christ, you know, don't let them go unchallenged, he says. I mean, beware of this. Watch for what's coming. And as well, the point that false teachers have always been around stands out to me in the text. You know, that this is not some new phenomenon. Look at it again. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. On page 25 of our worksheet there, if you picked one up, I just want to read the top of this. Let's put some things in perspective. New Testament Christianity is just getting a foothold. Destructive teachers and doctrines, we're not going to let those professing an allegiance in Christ go unchallenged. And he's warning the Christians, you know, really look out. It's a warning to us as well. But as you think about it, false teachers have always been around and have had their way with anyone not absolutely focused on following the Lord. Point of emphasis there that we should talk about. What a false teacher has to say sounds appealing when one does not know what God says. Or, if we are just not satisfied with the will of God, deceiving doctrines and teachers take on a fascinating interest. Can we think about that for just a moment? You know, sometimes it's easy to be deceived. Sometimes it happens innocently from the standpoint, we say just instantly when we don't know better. You know, someone can give us directions. Here's what you needed to go to get to such and such place. And you've never been there before and you have no clue. Well, they might give you the wrong directions how to get there. And if you follow them, well, you're not going to get to the right place. Well, that's not all that important in life, however that little scenario works out. But this is, we're talking about eternal consequences with this. And in life, most of us have talked with some who maybe are genuinely deceived. I mean, they could be following some religious doctrine that comes from the will and the mind of men, and they really believe it to be true. I mean, they really do. There are times like that, it's hard to question someone's sincerity. They really believe it's true. It doesn't make it any more true what they're believing, but they've been deceived. And sometimes, though, it almost seems like some are satisfied being deceived. Have you noticed that? I mean, they're not genuinely interested in considering what God's Word has to say. Have you ever been in a study with someone that kind of turns that way? And it's aggravating and disappointing and sad all at the same time. When you come to a point of realizing when someone basically says, well, this is what I believe, I don't care what that's... I actually had someone say one time as we were holding the Bible, I don't care what that says. And I didn't know how to even respond to that. I mean, they just said, I don't care what God says. How do you follow that up? You know, I mean, all you can do is thank you for your time. I mean, if they're not willing to listen to God's Word, you really don't have anything else to say. Isn't that weird? But some can be so deceived. Sometimes it's by our own desire. Sometimes we don't want to know truth. We can come to that point where we just want to read. We don't care what truth is. Sometimes we can just be fooled. And of course, getting back to some things here that Peter says. Sometimes a false teacher can say some things in such a way that it sounds very appealing when one does not know what God has to say. Or there can be times when some are just satisfied not to know what God says. Second paragraph here. Peter's warning in 2 Peter chapter 2 comes after ample reminder of the many blessings a Christian has by faith in Jesus Christ. Talking about chapter 1 as we just did. And so Christians are admonished to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Remember our point of emphasis in chapter 1. You know, if we will do these things, if we will build our faith, if we will be diligent in these things, we will be able to stand when evil comes against us. Now Peter's talking about the evil side. Don't be deceived. And so as we look at these first three verses again, I'm going to spend a few minutes here because it's a powerful passage. You know, what is Peter's point? There were also false prophets among the people. Of what or of whom is he speaking? What do you think he's talking about?
Yes. So he had just mentioned the prophets that delivered the scripture.
Sure.
And at the same time as those men delivered the scripture, there were false teachers as well.
Yes.
The writings of the scripture had endured, the false teachings had fallen away.
You know, one of the last things, or one of the things that Moses said to the children of Israel, if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18, you know, he gave a warning about such things. You know, beware of false teachers. Deuteronomy chapter 18, there were and there would be more who would be false teachers. Deuteronomy 18, let's see, verse 20, let's begin here. Verse 19, if anyone does not listen, back up to verse 17. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. And if anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. And so first he's talking, you know, Moses knows he's not going to be with them much longer. His day is nearly being counted by hours at this point before he's no longer with them. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to raise up for them, for the children of Israel, another prophet. You know, they need to listen to him. Verse 20, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything that I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods must be put to death. Okay, well, that's pretty serious. Here's the instructions of the Lord to the children of Israel. 21. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? Well, if a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. And that prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. And so, I mean, when you consider Moses, the children of Israel before Moses, they knew that he was the prophet of God. It had been demonstrated time and again, you know, when he spoke for God, that those things happened, those things came true. And I thought the point here that kind of stood out to me was the fact that long before Christianity, there were still false prophets. There were those who would deceive and want to deceive the children of Israel. Their thoughts. Yeah.
There have always been false prophets, false teachers. He's just saying that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
In your time, there's going to be false prophets, false teachers. And the illustration we're going to go about the guy gave somebody directions. There are false teachers who are deliberately teaching what is false. They know it's false. Mm-hmm.
It's still false.
And it's still false.
Yeah.
And the person, whether the person is taught by someone who's deliberately teaching false doctrine or by somebody who is, you know, thinks they're teaching the truth, they're teaching, the end result is the same. You're still not getting the truth. And the person who gets directions can be told by somebody who's deliberately trying to give them wrong directions or somebody who honestly thinks they're giving
the results are the same.
They're still going to wind up in the wrong place.
That's exactly right. Good point with that. Good point, yes.
And I'm sure this is why you read the passage from Deuteronomy, the parallel between Moses saying, I'm about to leave you, and this is what you face.
Yeah, what about Peter?
The same thing.
Yeah.
I won't be here with you anymore, but I leave you with two things, the certainty of the historical events involving Jesus Christ and the certainty of the Scriptures.
Right.
And don't let anyone move you.
Don't let anybody take this away from you. You know, you're right. Good point. Bless.
Mm-hmm. He pointed out something. First, he cast doubt on God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And did God really say this?
Yeah.
He's obviously trying to withhold some good thing from you. But look at this fruit, you know, and she saw that it looked good and it looked pleasant to eat and all. But there's always that. There's something attractive, there's something appealing.
There has to be.
This past week, I forget the names don't stick with in my mind very well, but there was one of the kings that didn't want the certain prophet to tell him what was going to happen because he said he always prophesied bad news.
Yeah. I don't want to listen to him. It's always bad news. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30, listen to this, speaking of the children of Israel. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? Israel had come to a point by the time Jeremiah penned these words that they, you know, were following false concepts, false doctrines, and they liked it that way. I mean, there may have been a time, I think there was a time, the children of Israel where some were not faithful to the Lord, but some were. You know, and there was even like conflicts between them as far as what to do, follow the Lord or follow these gods. They came to a point where they'd moved so far away from God where it seems like almost all of them were away from God, and they were happy to be there. They were content. Even the prophets prophesied false things, and the people wanted to hear that, and the priests told lies. Everyone was satisfied with that. I mean, that seems to be the end result when we continue just to be followed destructive doctrines. You know, Daryl.
Asking directions and so forth, the problem is that
That's right. And in this case, I mean, we do. We have the map. We can get to the right place if we'll just listen, if we'll just follow. Harry.
No, a lack of diligence and vigilance is sort of the same thing as self-deception, if you don't.
Well said. That is right. We only have ourselves to blame. Sometimes it's almost as though we are satisfied fooling ourselves. Because we can fool ourselves, can't we? I mean, we can tell ourselves that even if initially we know something is wrong, we can tell ourselves enough that it's right that we start believing it. It can happen, sure enough. It doesn't change the end result, but we can see how that happens, can't we? Brent.
John made the statement that many false prophets have gone out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we see in the second century, you know, around 150 or so, that men were already starting to baptize infants.
Didn't take long. You know, it's amazing. I mean, when you come past, you know, the scriptures that the Lord has given us, you know, our history ends at around 90-95 AD or something such as that, as far as revealed by God. But there's secular writings out there that are kind of interesting. Understanding, there's secular writings. But when you just read the history of men, you know, Tertullian, Josephus, and some of these, it is amazing to me how fast some things changed. You know, as far as people's view of the Word of God and things like that. Powerful passage, isn't it? I mean, did you think we talked this much about one verse here? But I mean, it's a powerful, powerful passage. And it's warning, not just to those Christians of the first century, but to us today. We can see and we can make application to every one of these points. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destructions. Even among you, he's saying. Work on that for just a minute. What is he talking about? Even among you, there will be destructive heresies. What is he talking about?
Even in our own lifetime, we can see how quickly things can change. I came back in the 40s, 50s. Then we saw
Yeah, so fast.
And it's so fast. And in one lifetime, we've seen a tremendous amount of decay. The loyalty in our country, to our country, is so different than it was a few years ago. So this is very, very powerful if you've lived any time at all, because you can see it in your own lifetime.
You know, unfortunately, even in the church, I've seen things like that happen so quickly. Some things can just happen so quickly sometimes.
So when that false teacher gets in there,
yes,
we want it. And I don't understand how we can read chapter 1 and have so much force delivered to us to show what's right, what Christ is, and what we're to do, and all that. And then the next chapter, look out.
Yeah.
Because things are going to change very, very rapidly.
Yeah.
And I've seen that.
How can those who have the great promises given to us in chapter 1 and be told to build faith and to fortify our faith, and we have such great hope and opportunity, how can it so quickly go from that to there will be false teachers among you? I mean, how can there be false teachers among those who have such great faith and hope in the Lord? How can that happen?
Sometimes it's just motive. You look back at Acts chapter 20 and Paul's
exactly.
teaching elders. It says, men from among you, from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them.
I think this is a key point right here. I mean, in Acts chapter 20, you think about the Apostle Paul was saying to the elders, you know, from the Ephesus church. He gives them instruction about what is their role, their responsibility as overseers, tending the flock, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Verse 29, he says, "For this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after themselves." I mean, isn't there a part of you that says, no, no, that can't happen, no. But it does. And it still does. And the truth of what he is saying becomes so very true, even from among the elders. You know, that there were those who were deceptive, and there were wolves among the sheep. And their destruction was great. Secular history again, Brent, you might be able to help me on this. You know, isn't it like, again, around 150 A.D. that you had, like, lead elders in some churches? I mean, it was about 158, wasn't it, Jeffrey? About 150 A.D. I mean, we're not talking that long after the death of the last apostle. And already, I mean, there's this apostasy that's growing. Of course, it grew rapidly, and we can see today where some of that has led to. So quickly. And I think about that when I read this, about what Paul was saying to these elders from Ephesus, even among you. And you know, when we're talking about elders, we're talking about the spiritual leaders, the spiritual shepherds of the church. There's just not supposed to be a breakdown there, right? But I've seen that too. And it's painful when you see that. It's painful when that happens. And it has to be dealt with in a rapid way when there are those that come in speaking false doctrines. In a powerful way, it has to be dealt with. Oh, amazing.
Man is so fickle.
Yeah.
He can be so fickle.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know exactly how this all transpired, but here's Paul talking in Acts 20, which is maybe 57 AD, somewhere around there, and just 5, 6, 7 years later, you read 1 Timothy, and he's instructing Timothy in Ephesus how to appoint elders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So the things that Paul said, you can imagine, just like we're saying here, how did these things happen, even among elders? And Paul warned them, and still it happened. It must have happened. Something did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a warning to us.
Sure it is.
Because if it could happen to them, it can happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Boy, doesn't it say something about how vigilant we need to be? I mean, from an individual basis, just watching how we can be led astray by deceiving teachers. And as a church, how we need to be aware of what's being taught and who's teaching what and what concepts are being brought forth. And if in some way the word is not being presented correctly, how quickly that needs to be dealt with. Because false teachers can be flushed out sometimes. You know, rather quickly, when you address some things by the word, take the personalities out. Now, we got to get the personalities out. When we address issues with the word, false teachers can be flushed out. But if you don't move quick, the damage can be done, and it can be devastating. And we have to be right on top of that, Les.
Historically, it's amazing how certain very Calvinistic in his doctrine, his thinking.
Right.
This generation, our generation, we see the Jehovah's Witnesses who basically have the same doctrine that Jesus was a prophet, but he wasn't God.
Mm-hmm.
But you see that apostasy happening very, very early in the history of Christianity generally. And you see the same things continuing from generation to generation to generation, and they're still here.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that you can read about from the early church fathers, as they're known, are the same ones that we're contending with today. There's really nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't coming up with anything new because the word has been the same all along.
Yeah, sometimes it's presented differently. It's covered up a little differently, but it seems like there's so much of it's the same. Pastor Denny?
I think that one of the things that we, as a society, seem to miss, we have the idea that Satan, the devil, is dead or God.
Mm-hmm.
He's not active. But even back in Job's time, they asked, what are you doing, Satan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just walking around the earth, seeing what I can find to do about it. He's casual about it, but he's still a very, very powerful influence. And this is where it comes. I mean, this evil is still alive and well in our world.
Walking around seeing whom he may devour.
Absolutely.
Like a roaring lion. Peter warned us about that.
And he's working very,
oh, very much so. Look at verses 1 through 3. I want us just to pick out some key phrases here. Words or phrases that just step out. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words, whose judgment for a long time has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Start working our way through there. What are just some descriptive, powerful words or phrases there that stand out? What do you see?
False prophets,
false teachers.
False teachers.
You know, the emphasis on the false here.
False is what it means to be, but if we're emphasizing these are leaders.
Yeah.
He's a teacher,
that's right.
He's a leader.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I know what he's saying is right because he's our preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's a prophet, some
he
say.
Wouldn't tell us wrong.
Yeah, he wouldn't tell us wrong. False here is the point of emphasis.
But this is we're describing them as prophets.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
Secretly introducing destructive heresies, even denying the master.
Secretly.
They're not going to walk up to you and say, today I deny Jesus Christ. It's going to be denied covertly. It's like the brother said before about Jehovah's Witnesses. When they come to your door, they don't tell you what they teach concerning Christ. They use the same words and they
mm-hmm.
sound like they're saying the same thing that you believe.
Mm-hmm.
They even call him the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe what you believe. They don't believe what
right.
the Scriptures teach concerning
deceptive
Jesus,
on how they say some things.
Which is the way to approach them anytime
mm-hmm.
they come. Go directly to the subject of Jesus and who he is.
Mm-hmm. The Son of God.
Usually they won't stay very long.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that. That's an example of a secret.
This secretly thing here stands out. You know, unfortunately, and some of you have as well, had to deal with someone who is holding a concept or belief and trying to teach it, you know, maybe to some. And it's interesting that these people don't want to stand up in front of everybody and necessarily tell you, at least very seldomly does this happen, and want to tell everybody, here's the doctrine that I believe. They may tell you, and they may go to your house and tell you, they may go to your house and tell you, and they may go to your house and tell you. You know, and start a following. I've seen that. And a wolf among the sheep, secretly trying to deceive one at a time. I've told you before, there's been an instance that it'll plague me to my death. I was slow to see the wolf. And I was slow to respond, and I will not be slow again. You know, as I've told you before, I'll call it a wolf, and it turns out to be a sheep. I'll be apologetic. But a wolf is a wolf. And this just stands out to me, secretly. This is what they do. They sneak around. Two instances I can think of, churches that were split by one person secretly going around and getting a following to the point where the eldership was undermined and the eldership fell and the church went with it. Twice. I wasn't there. I've heard about this from some other brethren. Secretly, it stands out.
Jesus said that men love darkness and that evil is always lurking in the shadows.
That's right. Yeah.
Not wanting to come out of the light and the open.
And Christ always described as the light. Interesting. What else stands out? Right.
Just say real quick on that. Jude 4 talks about it as men that crept in unnoticed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it just starts with a little tiny idea that ends up blossoming. But what I think is so interesting about Peter is that he doesn't make any distinction between a tiny departure and a big departure.
Right.
Any departure is a departure from the truth.
That's right.
As well be denying the master of the thought.
Absolutely. Good thoughts. What else? What else stands out in this text? What other words, what other phrases here stand out?
I think Brent
had a who? Brent. Yeah, Brent. Sure.
And I think that's why he makes the point later about the angels. It's an individual responsibility. Mm-hmm. We can't blame it on the preacher. We can't blame it on our parents, mm-hmm. where we were raised, and all these things. You go all the way back to Ezekiel 18. You know, there's a principle that's always been there that the individual does what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And will be judged as an individual. That's right. Good thoughts. Yeah, listen. It didn't start there.
The congregation can't get together and say, we're going to vote on this against the will of the masses, against the will of the collective. The collective has to be in line.
Mm-hmm. They have to be brought along to that point.
And when they know that that's the case, then they can vote on, say,
they can bring it to a vote and it'll go.
Presbyterian Church, well, just a matter of
recently,
has fallen down.
That's right. It's taken years to get to that point.
It's amazing.
The seed of that was planted years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was. Daryl.
In the verse 2, the truth will be malign. The we think of the word today, malignant, being a tumor or cancer.
Yeah, never good.
And it starts out small.
Uh-huh.
And then before you know it, it's fatal.
Yeah. Yeah, and it grows. And it's never a good thing. You're right. Our time is gone here. Lord willing, next time what we'll do, we're going to take up right here. Make maybe a couple more points in these first three verses, kind of review. And if you didn't pick up page 25, get it right back here. And we're going to work on the next section here, verses 4 through 11. That'll be our goal for next time. Appreciate your good comments this morning. Thank you so much. All who can, let's move up closer to the front here.